إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله، اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Brothers in Islam, the situation is tough. The situation is tough, and those who get involved are small in numbers. The fitan, the trials, the tribulations that the ummah is facing are abundant. And it seems that only a minority are even concerned, let alone those who actually do something about it. We have plenty of spectators who love to watch and love to comment and love to get philosophical when they don't need to be philosophical. However, those who do something always remain to be a minority. And a question which one should pose to himself is, am I a spectator? Am I a commentator? Or am I someone who does something? What have I and what have you done? What have you participated in regards to this ummah? What are you? Who are you? What is your role? What is your job? Are you a worshipper? Jazakallahu khayran. That is not enough. Being a worshipper is good for you, but it is not sufficient and it does not fulfill the needs of the ummah. This is why you find in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a man was walking down the street in the hadith al-Sahih, and he saw a branch that had thorns, and he said to himself, I shall remove this from the way of the Muslims, from the path on which the Muslims walk or travel, so that it does not harm them. He removed a branch of tree. Three things happened. Allah appreciated that. Allah forgave him, and He admitted him to paradise. This is what you're doing here. This is why you're here. You are here because you want Allah to appreciate your effort. You want Allah to forgive you your sin, and you want to be admitted to paradise. I'm here for the same reason. This man acquired these things not by qiyamul layl and not by fasting through the day, even though you should do so if you're able to do it, but he removed a branch of tree from the way because it was what the scholars called naf'un muta'addin. It is the sort of benefit that goes beyond the person. It actually affects the lives of others. This is why Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, when going on Hajj, and he used to go on Hajj every other year, alternate years he would go do Hajj all his life. One year he would fight in the cause of Allah, and the next year he would go for Hajj. While going there, on the journey, he saw a girl go to the trash, the area where people will dump their trash, and pick up a dead chicken that the people had threw or had thrown in the trash. And so he inquired as why she did that. She gave him a brief of what happened to her father, the state of poverty that they are in, and that they are in a situation where mayta, the dead animal, has become halal for them. Because Allah Azza wa Jal made things which were forbidden allowed at times of necessity. They have no other means of getting food. What did he say? He told the man who was traveling with him that was carrying the money, he told him, take 200 dirhams or 400 dirhams, and he had thousands. Not to give her the 400 dirhams, no. He said, keep 400 dirhams for us to travel back with them and give the rest of the money to this young girl. And so he understood the principle that he knew the virtues of Hajj. He knows that he will go back to this state if Allah accepts, like the day his mother gave birth to him. He knows that there's no other reward but Jannah. He knew all the virtues of Hajj. He was a muhaddith. None of us needs to explain to Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak the virtues of Hajj. But he understood that benefiting a Muslim is superior to an act of worship which is restricted to himself. A principle which we don't seem to understand as good as he did. Or as well as he did, rahimahullah ta'ala. And so everyone is concerned with him or herself. Fantastic. You do your ibadah, great. And then what about the skills that Allah gave you? Where are those? Where are they? And how do you utilize them? Make more money? Good. Are you helping the Muslims with this money you're making? Or is it just about me, myself, and I? Do we just want to continue to make and more money until we meet Allah with no money? And so what? You made so much money. Brothers in Islam, the situation is tough. You don't know what's going on out there, or you probably do. But I don't like theoretical speech. Let us be practical and keep it real. Just yesterday, we went to this area out there in Ubhur where people rent out jet skis and boats and what have you. There was a little trip for children to go on a boat trip and see the ocean and the sea and what have you. We go to this one place and you think you're in Hollywood. Ladies wearing nothing. I mean bathing suit, which is nothing. No jilbab. Men and women walking in, boyfriend, girlfriend, right there before our eyes. Walking in, going out, smoking shisha, while the people are praying dhuhr. And you say to yourself, what in the world is going on here? Now you're one of two people. And excuse my language, a coward, so you keep your mouth shut, so you can keep yourself protected, and you say, I hate it with my heart, and that is the weakest of iman, my brother, or you do something about it. And there you have it, munkar before our eyes, vice before our eyes. They're trying to do to the kingdom what they did elsewhere. And if the kingdom follows the footsteps of these people, then where would Islam truly live and survive? If in Biladul Haramain they have the audacity to do this, then what do you think will be next if we kept our mouths shut? And so you will find some people chilling like nothing is going on. And the truth of the matter is, according to the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, if we remain quiet, then the punishment of Allah will encompass everyone. And we are all sinful. I'm going to tell you what Allah blessed me to do. Not because I'm special, I am worthless. I am worthless. But because it is an obligation to mention things which will encourage others. Allah may not even accept my deeds. I have no guarantees. But I'm going to tell you what I did, so next time you are in this predicament, you can do something even better than that. whatever it is, don't you be quiet. Two ladies walk by with their nonsensical dress code. And then I said to one of them, what is this? Is this hijab? Mind you, this is not how you give da'wah all the time. The asl is that you're gentle and you're kind and you take her on the side. But I'm not going to go catch a lady walking half naked and say, let me talk to you on the side, while I got people around me. Besides, she already knows. These are people that know what's up. They know what they're doing is wrong. This is not the situation where you will have a different approach in da'wah. Because da'wah is different. You have to understand, some people don't understand. So they say, you don't know what you're doing. No, you don't know what you're doing. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a man with a golden ring and he yanked it out of his hand and he threw it on the floor, that was da'wah as well from Allah's Messenger. Yet there were times where a man urinated in the masjid and the Sahaba wanted to beat him up. He said, leave him alone, and he talked to him afterwards. Sometimes the situation requires of you different behavior. So I said, is this hijab? This is hijab? And she's walking with this, you know, confidence. She wasn't happy. So she went and complained to the security guard. And the security guard came and said, which one of you spoke to her? I said, I did. You got a problem? Let me tell you something, man. You see, we are in Saudi Arabia. And all these Westerners around me left America, the UK, Canada, and they migrated here just because they don't want to see what we saw right now. So either you change the situation or I'm going to create a serious problem for you. And while I'm saying this, the lady runs out of the place and the whole crowd just disappears. The man, her boyfriend, is telling her, come inside. And she's telling him, no, I'm going outside. And she leaves, and he has to chase right after her. Now, what instigated all that? Someone my size, tiny little fella. If they knock me out, if they punch me once, I'm done. I know. But it's not about your strength, akhi. It's about you feeling confidence in your deen. It's about you knowing, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah will support and He will defend those who believe. You speak from iman and the people will have to subdue. End of story. Now what is the situation here? The situation is when this lady ran out of this place, next time around her boyfriend invites her to this place, she will think 20 times before she returns. Or she may dress differently. Or she may tell her other friends, be careful of going there because some crazy mutawwir screamed at us and he may bring the hayya next time. The bottom line is you have no knowledge of what may this entail in terms of goodness. Because of a single word, someone like myself, Allah facilitated to say. So my brothers in Islam, if we all remain quiet, if they see all these mutawwirs observing them doing what they want, saying nothing, next time around one of them decides to speak, they will think he's a lunatic. And they will say, why are you speaking? Look at all your friends, no one complained. Many people came before you, no one complained. So you're paving the way for them to have the nerve now to tell you not to enjoin the good and forbid the evil, as if what you're doing is wrong and what they're doing is right. This is why it is crucial, whenever you're involved in such situations, to have something to say fi sabilillah. Because if we don't, we will all pay. And if you don't pay, your children will pay. And if your children don't pay, your grandchildren will pay. And when this place, if they try to corrupt the kingdom, then this will have an effect on the whole Muslim ummah. It is a global thing. So now that Allah has allowed you to come here, don't you be observing what people are doing because you're an expat or a foreigner. You're a Muslim first. And Islam commands you to say something when you can, provided that you don't create a greater evil. And when you do so, you will be honored. You will be honored in a way which you can't even perceive. Not that someone will give you a certificate of appreciation. Not that the Hayat al-Amr bil-Ma'roof wa Nahy al-Munkar will hire you. Not that the school to which you, the school in which you're enrolled will give you the degree out of the blue. No, Habibi. Something which is greater than that. You will be honored by falling under those whom Allah said about, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who is better in speech than he who calls to Allah and he does righteousness, he does righteous deeds, and he proclaims, I am among the Muslims. He's not afraid, he's not ashamed. He looks like a Muslim, he acts like a Muslim, and he tells the people that he's a Muslim. And he finds pride in that, because that's the only thing you're allowed to find pride in. Not in your lineage, not in your skin color, not in your nationality, not in your passport, no, in your Islam. This is where you're allowed to be proud before the people that I'm a Muslim. But it is sad that many don't find the pride there, they find it elsewhere. And this is from the Jahiliyyah, which we've inherited from the people of Jahiliyyah, who live up until today. So my brother in Islam, know your role. Know your role and don't be watching when you're supposed to be doing something about it. In the second part of the khutbah, inshallah, we will just discuss something which you have probably heard hundreds of times in your lives, but the reminder benefits the believers. I ask Allah to give us understanding of the deen and help us to act upon it. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All of you know the four masail which every Muslim should know. That you should know the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should know Allah and the deen, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through textual evidences. That you should have this ilm, you should invite people to this ilm, you act upon the ilm, you invite people to the ilm, and then tasbiru ala al-adha. Then you have to be patient in regards to the harm which will afflict you when you do these three things. You cannot possibly be involved in authentic knowledge, acting upon it, and inviting others to it without having to deal with the fourth one. This is why Luqman said to his son, Ya bunayya aqim as-salata wa'mur bil ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkar wasbir 'ala ma asabak. After he told his son to establish the salah, enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, the very next advice, and be patient in regards to that which will afflict you. Because the byproduct of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is harm that may afflict you. This is part of the game. Today, we are being attacked on all fronts. If you're a Muslim who follows the way of the righteous predecessors, you are being attacked by the Sufis who call you Wahhabi. And you're being attacked by the Shia who call you Nasibi. And you're being attacked by the Jews and the Christians and the Hindus and the Buddhists who call you a fundamentalist, a terrorist, a radical such and such. Everywhere you go, it seems that people have become your enemy. Everywhere you go, people are trying to halt the da'wah. People trying to stop the da'wah. And if you give up and surrender, then who will carry this blessed da'wah? If every time they call you a Wahhabi, you stop discussing tawheed and you acknowledge the shirk and the worship of the dead in the graves because you're too shy back in your home country and you don't want to cause conflict, then who will do the da'wah? If you cannot be patient enough, then how are you going to succeed when Allah swore, Allah gave an oath by the passage of time that we will be immersed in loss unless we believe, do righteous deeds, and enjoin and help one another in terms of truth and patience. It doesn't happen without a sacrifice. If you can't do it yourself, Support those who are doing it on your behalf. You can support them in many different ways. Each one has a skill that is suitable for this ummah. Whatever gift Allah gave you, don't be selfish with it. And don't keep it only for yourself and your family so that your wealth can grow. Rather, use it also for the Muslim ummah to grow. I cannot even enumerate them because there's so many, and we have so many different people with so many different skills. But you know better than anyone else what it is that you can offer for this ummah and to this ummah. So brother, please stop watching. The ummah needs you. Allah made you a Muslim. This is a blessing that requires thankfulness and gratitude. And the gratitude involves action. Don't just say Alhamdulillah, do something about it. Learn the deen. Apply the deen. Give da'wah to the deen and be patient. And help those who are doing this already. Don't divide. Don't create sects. Don't create groups. Don't warn against people who should not be warned against. Don't turn this deen into factionalism and boycotting. This is not our deen. Some people are wild with these things. They're doing much damage to the ummah in the name of goodness and in the name of following the righteous predecessors, and they have tarnished the reputation. If this is how our righteous predecessors were, then we are horrible imitators. That's not how they were. They were people that truly loved Islam. So from this day on, get involved. The least, when you see munkar, speak. Don't be afraid of anyone. Wallahi, no one can harm you unless Allah wills. No one can harm you unless Allah wills. And you can try to run away from what Allah has decreed for you all your life, you won't be able to escape it. Don't think by being a quiet, silent kind of person, you will get by. Because what Allah had decreed will afflict you shall come to you even if your mouth is closed. So don't think that this is a way out. When you see something evil spreading in the society, make sure that you say something about it. When they see that all of us, when they see resistance, they see that the community, the society does not approve of their vice and their sin, then they will also remember that there are limitations, and perhaps many of them will change their ways because of a single word which you say. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand and act upon these reminders, beginning with myself and moving on to all of you brothers. This deen is valuable. So make sure that you service it in the way in which it deserves. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد أقم الصلاة.